In our gospel reading, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, and that we who believe in him are his sheep. Now, why does Jesus refer to himself as a shepherd? And why does he refer to us believers as his sheep? Well, in that part of the world, almost 2,000 years ago, there were a lot of shepherds and even more sheep. Why so many sheep? Well, sheep were a big part of the Jewish culture back then. Not only did they use sheep for food, but they also used their wool for clothing. In fact, in addition to that, the Jews also used lambs for the sacrifices in the Jerusalem temple, especially on the day of Passover. So, even if you were a Jew who lived in the city, you still knew a lot about sheep, and you understood that all those sheep needed shepherds to care for them and protect them. You see, what we need to realize is that sheep are dumb animals. Sheep would often wander away from their home, which was a very dangerous thing to do. Not only were they then threatened by wolves and other predators, but they were also in danger from thieves. Thieves who would jump at the chance to steal a sheep and then kill it not only for food, but also for clothing. Now you can understand why Jesus uses the shepherd-sheep analogy to make a spiritual point. Jesus is our good shepherd, and he longs to care for us sheep and protect us. But if we wander from him, we then place ourselves in great danger. For there are many evil things in this world that would love to steal us away from the Lord, only to kill us and destroy us forever. In fact, Jesus makes this point at the beginning of our gospel reading. Listen to these words again. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, when Jesus talks about the thief, he's really alluding to the devil and his demons who want to lure us away from Jesus only that they might spiritually kill us and destroy us for their own sadistic pleasure. But in contrast, Jesus wants to give us life. Not just ordinary life, mind you, but Jesus wants to give you an abundant life. That fact leads us to ask a question, which just happens to be the title for today's sermon. The question is, do you have an abundant life? Well, if you ask people whether they have an abundant life, some will say yes, others will say no, and they will have various reasons for their answers. Sadly, we sinners don't really know what abundant life actually is. You see, only Jesus can give us abundant life. But we so often look for abundant life in all the wrong places. And like foolish sheep, we wander away from our shepherd only to be captured by the thief who kills us and destroys us forever. Therefore, allow me to discuss five areas where we sinners end up being confused about the meaning of abundant life. I'm going to talk about five words that just happen to begin with the letter P. They are peace, prosperity, popularity, power, and party. First, let's examine the word peace. You see, some believe that they will have abundant life if they can only have peace. And by peace, they mean a life that is secure, free from hassles, free from stress, and free from pain. In other words, no worries. A steady paycheck, food on the table, a safe neighborhood to live in, family and friends who are healthy, no wars to threaten our nation. Who could ask for more? Yes, an abundant life is a life that is secure and predictable. Peace. Some people do all they can to achieve a life of peace, but it always eludes us eventually. You see, no matter how we try to shelter ourselves from the hassles and the heartaches of this world, one way or another, our peaceful lives will eventually be disrupted with chaos, stress, and pain. So those who define abundant life in terms of earthly peace will always end up being disappointed. Next, let's examine that word, prosperity. In America especially, many define abundant life as material prosperity, living the American dream, a nice home, a nice car, brand name clothes, shopping to your heart's desire at the nearest shopping mall. And whether you're 5 years old, a teenager, a young adult, middle-aged, or a senior citizen, none of us can escape the allure of looking for abundant life in prosperity. But my friends, this is a sad delusion. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a sin to have prosperity. If God gives you prosperity, then thank Him for that undeserved gift. Thank Him for His mercy toward you. However, a serious problem arises when we sinners think that abundant life is found in our gifts rather than in the one who gave them to us. That's why even though prosperity is a gift from the Lord, Jesus also warns us that if we focus on the prosperity, we can easily be led away from Him, the giver. And so in Luke chapter 12, He says, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Simply put, there's an empty space inside all of us that can't be filled even if we purchased every item in every shopping mall in America. Our sinful emptiness needs to be filled with Jesus and His love. But so often, we try to find abundant life by pursuing prosperity. And you know what? If we do that, we'll never be filled and we'll never be satisfied. How about popularity? Some people, in fact many people, want to be respected and accepted by their peers. Usually we think like this: if only I can be popular, then I will have an abundant life. Junior high children, high school youth especially think this way. Being accepted by your peers is very important. But as a result of this attitude, we are tempted to compromise our convictions and eventually become people pleasers just so we can be popular. But eventually we discover that popularity is hard to maintain, and friends can sometimes stab you in the back. So if you are a people pleaser, you need to face the fact that some will not be pleased with you no matter how hard you try. Of course, what we need to realize is that the only opinion that really matters in the end is God's opinion. You should live your life to please Him. We should live in such a way that we're trying to earn God's respect and God's admiration. But so often we don't. Instead, we look for abundant life in trying to be popular with our peers. We sinners prefer the flattery of fickle friends to the favor of our faithful Father. Moving on, we also look for abundant life in power. You see, some believe abundant life means being in control, getting your way, and imposing your will on others. A couple historical examples of this delusion are Hitler and Saddam Hussein. They were men who looked for life in power, in dominion, and the control of others. Of course, if we're honest with ourselves, there are times when each one of us is striving to be a little Hitler and a little Saddam. You see, we sinners like to be in control and have our own way, and so we rebel against God and live as we please. We end up fighting with our family and friends, and we might even manipulate people at work or at school or even at church. But what we fail to realize is that we're not in control at all, even if we think we are. You see, if we're not under God's control, if we're not serving under His love, then the only other option is that we are under the devil's control. And the devil is not a good shepherd. So those who try to find life in power will be disappointed. If we try to find life in a power other than Jesus, we will end up being puppets of the devil. Finally, how about that word party? You know, in modern America, we can see the result of people who are spoiled and expect instant gratification. MTV and VH1 teach our young people that the best thing they can look forward to in college is tons of wild and wicked parties. People of all ages think that life is ultimately about having fun. So if something is not fun, then quit. That's the philosophy. If you're not having fun doing it, give it up. It's not worth it. Don't commit to anything if it spoils your good times. On the other hand, if something is fun, then no matter how evil or how perverse it may be, do it with all the gusto you have, and don't be concerned about what God says. Don't be concerned about who you might hurt along the way, because the main goal is having fun. Sadly, those who think that life is meant to be a party eventually reach a point when the party ends and reality hits them in the face. Then suddenly life becomes unbearable and meaningless. They don't know where to find true joy and happiness. And so we sinners must face the fact that we often look for abundant life in all the wrong places. We look for abundant life in worldly peace, prosperity, popularity, power, and party. Of course, there are other replacements for Jesus I could talk about as well, but those five words suffice for now. The fact is, we're all guilty of trying to find abundant life in things that will only lead to despair and death. The very things that we think will give us abundant life end up stealing us away from the Lord and eventually bringing us death and destruction. On our own, we sinners don't have a clue about abundant life. In fact, we don't deserve abundant life at all. As we heard in our reading from Romans, the only thing we deserve is death and destruction. But that's where the good news comes in. Jesus gives us good news today. You see, Jesus is our good shepherd. He came to give you abundant life, not because you deserve it, but because He loves you, and He wants you to be His child now and for all eternity. That's why Jesus said what He did in our gospel reading. Listen to His words again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. You see, what we need to understand is that there is no earthly shepherd that compares to the good shepherd. Think about it. Even though sheep were important animals to the Jews, and even though there were many things that the sheep provided for the Jews, there were no shepherds in Jesus' day that would be willing to lay down their lives for one of their stinking sheep. But Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us rebellious sheep who have willingly wandered away from him. I want you to listen carefully to this good news from 1 Peter chapter 2. Listen carefully. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus is so much more than an earthly shepherd, and you are so much more than earthly sheep. Jesus gave his life for you. He shed his blood to pay for your sins, which were merited by all your rebellion. And he rose again to give you abundant life, now and for all eternity. For example, Jesus gives you true peace. I'm not talking about a peace defined by earthly security and a hassle-free life. Instead, Jesus gives you a peace that passes all understanding. You see, you have peace because you know that your sins are forgiven. You have peace because you know that God loves you, and that is a true fact even when life is filled with trials and stress. You have peace because you know that you have eternal life in a new creation, even in the face of death. True peace means that you are God's child no matter what. And that's abundant life, my friends. As Job once said, "Even if God slay me, yet will I trust in him." Jesus also gives you true prosperity. Now, I'm not talking about material things, although God does indeed give us many material things. I'm talking about the riches of God's love, the treasures of his word, and the wealth that awaits us in the future when we will walk with Jesus in the new creation. My friends, there are poverty-stricken people all over the world today. And yet, those poverty-stricken people are nevertheless very rich because they trust in Jesus as their Savior. And my friends, you also have been given this true prosperity. In addition, Jesus gives you true popularity. And obviously, I don't mean that we Christians are popular with the unbelievers of this world. In fact, the unbelievers of this world probably think we're nuts. We Christians simply are not popular in the world today. We go against the flow. But that doesn't matter. You see, God's opinion is the only opinion that counts in the end. And God is proud of you. One day, you will stand before God and you will hear him say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Finally, Jesus gives you true power. In other words, you believers reign with Christ right now. You have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And when you speak God's truth in love, you wield a power that breaks down the strongholds of the devil and gives life to those who are spiritually dead. Jesus has given you power. And you get to use that power to serve others, just as Jesus used his power to serve you. And then ultimately, Jesus gives you a true party. That's right. Contrary to worldly opinion, being a Christian is a blast. When Christ's love changes your heart, you begin to look at life in a whole new way. In fact, you eventually learn to experience fun and laughter and joy in all the good things of God. However, even though life this side of heaven can be filled with tears and tragedy, Jesus still gives us many occasions for joy and laughter. And one day, when Christ returns, he will raise you from the dead, he will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and he will throw you a party in his new creation that will last for all eternity. Personally, I can't wait. So, do you have abundant life? If you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you most certainly do have abundant life. Jesus is your good shepherd, and you are his sheep. Jesus gave his life for you, and he took it up again and raised you up with him. My friends, your lives could not be more abundant. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding,